Welcome to another ABC Radio National podcast. For more information, go to abc.net.au/rn.
Hello, hello. Here's Lingua Franca now, and it's the first in the Radio National summer season, so the Christmas edition with me, Maria Zylstra, wishing you a good one. And joined by Ingrid van Alphen of the Linguistics Department at the University of Amsterdam in the Netherlands, an interactional sociolinguist, which means that she investigates the conversations that real people conduct, looking for systematic differences and patterns in how they talk. And in this program, from which I learned more than from any other this past year, Dr. van Alphen shared with us how completely besotted she is with what are called the new quotatives. Popularly believed to have first been used by the Valley Girls in the San Fernando Valley in Southern California, Dr. van Alphen cites documentary evidence that actually upper-class white males were already using this grammatical construction in the mid-1970s in the Netherlands. But what are they, these new quotatives? Well, in English, they're the terms go, as in she goes, what's this? And in particular, the word like, as in he's like, don't worry about it. But they have their equivalents in many other languages, such as in Dutch, with the word fun, as in ik heb zoiets van doei. Since as a linguistic phenomenon, it's a global thing. Right, Dr. van Alphen?
Yes, that's the exciting thing about it. This quotation marker, that we can also call it, is introduced in the Netherlands, in Israel, in Poland, in Greek, in Italian, in Spanish. So this is a fascinating phenomenon which I have never seen before. You can understand that as a social linguist, it's so exciting. It is like you are a biologist and everywhere in the world there is a new creature.
And as a linguistic phenomenon, it was a pet dislike in Belgium. Was it last year?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes, it got a prize for the most disliked expression.
Manner of speech.
Yes. And everybody says, I hate it. And almost everybody uses it, including myself.
Well, I know that there was an international workshop held in Amsterdam where you are for the many researchers working on this, on these new quotatives all around the world, and that your findings, your collective findings, are in the process of being published in book form. So I guess you have a pretty good idea of where and how it started and then spread worldwide. Can you give us a very quick potted history of that, please?
No, because your presupposition of your question is that it started somewhere, and the general idea is that, oh, well, it started in the United States and spread around the world. But if you see, or when we consider that in the United States, the like was started in 1983, and already in the Netherlands in 1975 we had a type, this new quotation marker. And in Israel, it was used already. And if we dig out more languages, then we have a phenomenon that the wheel was invented on different places. So the question should be, why do people all over the world suddenly need a new quotation marker? Or, as my research now is focused on, why do people report others and their own words in the direct form so much?
Well, I remember a tutor of mine, an academic tutor of mine, many, many, many years ago when I was pondering about some social phenomenon, he said, work out what it does, and then you can see perhaps why it is so. So
exactly.
The function of these new quotatives are myriad, aren't they? They don't just report speech. They have a whole range of abilities.
Yes. And I tried to make a list, really exactly as you say, what do people do with their words? And I came up with 10 reasons, 10 functions, and I think because it is so multifunctional, that could be one of the success reasons of the phenomenon. And maybe I can mention some of them, some of the 10.
Please do.
Well, first is that if you quote someone's words in their own words, like she said the party is dull, or she said like the party is dull, that you give the responsibility for the words to the other. So there's no commitment for the speaker what was said. There are two voices. I speak and I use the voice of someone else. So that could be, for politicians, as in the Netherlands, could be a reason to use the like form, this direct quotation.
Could I just clarify that, please, Dr. van Alphen? Because are you saying, or am I just tripping up on a former meaning of the word like, or on another meaning of the word like, which is something akin to, so that I then don't have to report the speech word for word? He said something like, and then I can put a gloss on it or attribute something in a way that might give me a political advantage if I say it like that.
Yes, yes, that's true. That's another one of the reasons, is the semantic core, the meaning of the like is, it's not, oh, I'm not quoting exactly, and I can have a way out if you ask me whether the words I report are really, really true. So that's another reason, I think, for the popularity of the phenomenon. And as you said, that like our Dutch van, but also the French com, or the Russian tipo, they all have this core meaning of something comparable. But there's another thing, and that makes sense in our modern world, and that is that if you report speech in an old-fashioned way, comparative to, he said that the party was dull, there can only be, in this indirect or direct reports, be full sentences. But in this form, you can put anything in, verbally, non-verbally, acoustically, sounds, body stances, etc. You can put everything after the word. He's like, duh, or whatever, or facial expressions. And there we can maybe make a relation with television, a very visual society, etc. And people try to reproduce to each other all sorts of emotions, because that's what, if you look what is in the quotation markers of Marx, or after the quotation marker, then it's usually inner feelings and strong expressions, etc. So that could be a reason for the popularity as well. It's an enactment, it's a demonstration of what they saw, or what they thought, or what they said.
So a kind of a dramatization, in a way.
Yeah, yeah. So it is a soap community, I used to call it. So it'd be becoming more and more an oral society.
Yes, and doesn't that follow on then from, because it's so kind of instant messaging-ish, that you don't have to get the precise content, but you get the general gist of it, and then you just move on.
I agree. But the other hand is that people in this form are able to express very detailed emotion. I don't know what duh means, but I can, it is another emotion that can be expressed in words, if you understand what I mean.
Well, you'd have to use a lot of words to explain what you meant when you said duh.
Yeah.
And when you say duh, it's a lot easier.
Economic. Yeah. Mm. I have in my corpus, I have a very nice instance of a girl describing something, and then she keeps on using this construction, and then she says, oh, I was like, no words for it. And that illustrates the meaning of it. I have no words for it, so I put it in brackets and I present it.
Well, finally, Dr. van Alphen, you are very interested in the interactivity of speech patterns and how people use that then to place themselves or to indicate themselves in a social sense.
Yes.
So is there a function then of these new quotatives in terms of where people stand in the discourse? Like, does it have a use in their discourse stance?
Definitely. It's used in these many voices or stances, standpoints, perspectives. The speaker produces this new quotative, or the quotative construction is a means to tell the different perspectives individuals have in life, thoughts, voices, etc.
So maybe then, in that kind of general language soup globally, and, you know, and all the interconnectedness of all the sort of communication devices that people have, you know, made more and more use of over the last two or three decades, maybe then, because I know that as a probably slightly older than the average person, I remember a time and was perhaps brought up at a time when the ideal was to say clearly what you meant, what you thought, what I thought, what we each thought ourselves, to not attribute to the other and to listen carefully and to know clearly, hear clearly what the other was saying. And there was a deliberate delineation between one and the other. I find it frustrating sometimes with young people nowadays, all the whatever and the I don't know, whatever. But in their conversation with each other, they just seem to have this kind of collective way of talking where they just kind of throw it into a big mess, and between them they kind of sort out the little bit that they need to keep the conversation going. So in a sense then, the kind of collective soup of the speech community globally is almost the metaphor for the way that people are using language.
Yes. I think that is a great observation. There are no boundaries between speaker and hearer, and they just put it in this soup. And I think by explaining the use of whatever and I was like whatever, the way you just did, you're illustrating also a function of this vague or collective speech style, that it's bonding. If I say whatever and you do not know and understand what I mean by it, then you are not my friend. People have to infer from what the other says, minimum utterances and noises and duh and whatever, and I'm like, even there is sometimes, there is no quote, there's only the construction. And I think it is to bond. I test whether you understand me. I test it, even you have to finish my words. So I stress the collectiveness of the group. And of course, if you're outside the group, it's so vague.
Dr. Ingrid van Alphen of the Linguistics Department at the University of Amsterdam in the Netherlands. And for Lingua Franca, here on ABC Radio National Summer, I go like jingle bells.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.